Welcome back to Horoscope Witch. It's Mal. And today we're going to be doing the Taurus New Moon Sermon. So welcome. If you are a new listener, I kind of intuitively choose about once a month, sometimes twice a month. I'll do these twice a month, but it's usually around once a month. I'll intuitively choose either the full moon or new moon, and then sort of deliver what I like to call a sermon when it comes to like my channeled messages of this new moon / full moon. So if you're new, welcome. If you're a OG listener, hi. I wish I could give you a hug. I wish we could do this in person somehow, but you know, this feels at least good to talk with you guys and chat with you guys right now and like check in. I was looking at the date of the last moon sermon and I didn't realize it was so long ago. The last moon sermon I did was on the I think Virgo full moon, which was March 9th. That's crazy because when I think back to the last moon sermon, it feels like I did that like a week ago. And I actually didn't do it a week ago. I did it on March 9th. And now, what date is it? It's April 21st. And now we're at the Taurus new moon. Like, time is just really like the days. I don't know about you guys, but the days for me are just going by so fast, and it's just crazy. So, and I was thinking, here's the thing, I was thinking that, you know, before the last moon sermon, okay, I was kind of like let's just get real, I was doubting the message that I had, as I do very often, but I recorded it anyways. I pushed myself to, give the message anyways. And if you remember, the last moon sermon on the Virgo full moon, it was a lot about how we formulate our schedules and how, our schedules are actually a metaphor for like the divine representation of how we use our time, the limited time that we have on earth. Like, you know, our schedule can sort of metaphorically represent like, you know, how we honor ourselves and how we honor our time or whatever la la that I was saying, right? And I couldn't figure out, I think this is why I doubted the message. I was like, this just seems like kind of boring. Like, yeah, we get it, spirit. Like, time is important. But the whole idea of talking about a schedule just sounds so boring. And then you look back and you're like, wow, like, I released that like a few days before things started getting crazy with the coronavirus. And little did I know that, like, the importance of our schedules was just like, it's been such a theme, right? Like, I almost feel like right now, like, your schedule or lack thereof is like making or breaking you right now. Like, you know, I think if you've been able to stick to some kind of just like a plan, even if the only thing in your quote unquote schedule is like, it's a self-care day, or it's a day to do nothing, or it's a day to read Harry Potter. Like, even if it's that, I feel like that's the kind of thing that kind of like keeps us going right now. So it's so interesting to see how these new moon sermon messages sort of develop over time and how they kind of make more and more sense as they marinate. So I'm sure you know this if you have listened to them before, but if this is your first moon sermon, know that I set the intention that you will arrive at the message exactly at the right time for you, even if it's in 2027 and it's nowhere near the new moon sermon and we're not dealing with this coronavirus situation anymore. Even if you land on the episode on that day 10 years from now, this episode will still resonate in some way. So that's sort of my intention, and it's my intention that the message I'm going to deliver today is it's like a fine wine. It just marinates. It gets better as we kind of let it So we kind of just let it kind of, you know, do its thing. So again, if it doesn't fully make sense right now, it may make more sense as the month goes on or even as we enter into May. And yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to say is the introduction. Now, a little bit of a disclaimer. I don't know if it's a disclaimer or if it's more just like, let's have a little heart to heart. And I just feel like there's never been a Horoscope Witch episode that didn't have a disclaimer. Like if my episode doesn't have a disclaimer, it's just like it's not even a real episode. So this is the disclaimer for this episode. Okay. So let's just huddle around. Come in, come on, come into the circle. Let's have a little huddle here with the team. I in the past month, okay, if you know, follow anybody who does tarot, who does astrology, who does spirituality stuff, who does coaching, who whatever. You know, if you follow anybody who does that kind of stuff, everyone has had their two cents about how to best navigate this time, right? And you've definitely noticed this, right? Unless, I mean, I highly doubt that I'm the only person that's like does this kind of spiritual stuff that you follow. Like you probably follow at least five other people who do kind of the same thing as me, right? So you've been noticing, right, that so many people have been sharing their two cents. I think some of it has come from such like a helpful and loving place. I've been noticing, you know, just so many great and like wonderful and powerful healers just like really sharing these like amazing messages. And then I've also seen other things, not too much, but I've heard at least other stories about how other like tarot readers or spiritual la-la people, let's just call them that, spiritual la-la people. I've heard stories about some people kind of using spirituality to sort of bypass the situation or, you know, the love and lighters or whatever it may be. You may have seen some of that as well. I just kind of want to offer just because even though I think there's been a lot of good advice and good messages that have come from everybody, I just kind of want to offer up that I don't want this episode to be interpreted as anything other than a message that you can kind of take bits and pieces of that work for you and leave the rest. I think this is such a sensitive time, and like pointing fingers and me trying to tell you the best way for you to deal with this or that, like that just doesn't seem right to me. Like I don't want this episode to be interpreted at all as like me offering you advice about what to do. And here's the thing too. We talk a lot about like guru mentality and like we need to end the guru or whatever. I think this is probably like there has literally been no better time than to quote unquote be your own guru than right now. Okay. So I think there needs to be like a really, really large amount of personal discretion when it comes to listening to anything right now. You know, even if it's like your favorite astrologer, even if it's your favorite tarot reader, even if it's someone that you absolutely trust and adore, and you're like a genuine fan of, just know that, like, you know best for you. Okay, don't let anybody tell you how to feel. Don't let anybody tell you how to best deal with the situation. And really take this sermon today as just me kind of offering some very light support. It's almost like I'm offering you a little cornucopia of little things you may want to consider to make your experience of the coronavirus at least a little bit more meaningful, if not a little bit better, especially if it has sucked. But I guess that's just all I wanted to say. And the there's also one other disclaimer that I wanted to put out there. I feel really called before this episode to just sort of like check my privilege before I go in, just so you know, like, you know, I can really only speak, you know, from my own experience, and my own experience of the coronavirus pandemic has been just like wildly privileged. It's been so privileged to the fact that like I've felt better than I have in a long time this past month. Like that's how privileged my experience has been, because I've been allotted the space and allotted the time through my privilege to stay at home, to really up my business and step into my power as a freelancer. And I'm loving it, and I feel so happy doing it. And, you know, I haven't had to worry about, you know, haven't had the financial stress that so many people have had. I mean, granted, I have financial stress, but I'm also not in the position where I'm worried that I'm not going to have a roof over my head, right? So I just wanted to offer that up too, and just know going into this episode that I typically, I think I typically do tend to be a little bit more optimistic. And I think through a little bit of personal reflection and seeing so many people, you know, on Instagram kind of posting that, you know, positivity is a privilege and whatever. I agree. Positivity is a privilege to some extent. And I think I had to do some personal reflection on that, how, like, you know, maybe the fact that, like, I do tend to be a little bit more optimistic, maybe that is a reflection of my privilege, you know? But on the other hand, I do feel like if you're in more of a mood of, you know, not everything is spiritual, and sometimes things just wildly suck and you're in a pit of darkness and there's nothing that you can do. Like, if that's your mindset, I think that's okay, and I'm not attacking that. But I don't feel like, you know, no matter what happens to me, I don't feel like I could ever be in that mindset, you know? And maybe that is a privilege, but that's just not like the take I have on this. So I just wanted to offer that before you get a little bit more deeper into this episode. I just wanted to offer up that, you know, I'm checking my privilege. I'm really kind of considering more deeply about, you know, that it's kind of dangerous to preach, like, be positive, be positive, be positive. You know, I'm not trying to do that either. You know, but also I'm a Pisces. Yeah, I'm ruled by Jupiter, I'm ruled by Neptune. Like, sometimes I just can't help it. Like, I do find spiritual meaning in literally everything. And if you're not in the mood for that, and, you know, maybe it's not the right time for you to listen to this or whatever, that's totally fine. And I don't hold it against you for, like, needing to, like, maybe you're not in the mood for me right now. And that's okay too. Like I said, like, this is the ultimate lesson of, like, finding out who you are and using your own discretion and, you know, really being your own spiritual leader right now. Okay. Granted, like, I'm not going to just spoon feed us positivity this whole time, right? Like, you guys know me, like, I tend to be hopefully as real as possible with just like a little sprinkling of optimism here and there. But again, I don't want to be perceived as like the rah-rah sisterhood cheerleader when that is like so blatantly not what the vast majority of the world is going through right now. Okay. Are we cool? We're Gucci. Okay. Let's now get into the situation. Taurus new moon. It's happening on Wednesday, April 22nd, around 10 p.m. All right, so this Taurus full moon, you know what I was thinking about? All right. You guys are going to think I'm a little crazy, what I'm about to tell you. And that's okay. You guys know I'm a Reiki practitioner, right? Okay. So I am a Reiki practitioner, and I'm amongst other things, but I am a Reiki practitioner. Now, for me, you know, as a healer, the way I actually like to clear my energy is through cranial sacral healing. So I'm not a cranial sacral therapist, but I do know one. And if you don't know what cranial sacral healing is, it's just another energy healing modality. It's a little bit more shamanic than a Reiki healing. And I have like a shamanistic practitioner who does these cranial sacral healings on me. And I try to do them once a month, okay, as sort of like a big ass energy clearing of me, so I can continue to hold space for others, right? Because when you're a healer, you know, I've learned this the hard way, but you need to be taking really good care of your own energy. And if you're an energy healer, you also need to be getting energy healings yourself. You know, it's kind of like, you know, being a massage therapist and never getting a massage. I think energy healers like Reiki practitioners tend to do that to themselves too. Like, we're always giving Reiki to others, but not getting energy healings on ourselves. So I've been trying to change that. And I would say maybe actually around the last moon sermon, around March 9th on the Virgo full moon, I did have a cranial sacral healing. Okay. So with energy healings, if you ever have had an energy healing before, you know, they're all, you have a different experience in each one. You know, sometimes people fall asleep. Sometimes people like fall into a meditative state. Sometimes people are called to kind of relive a part of their past so they can kind of let it go. I think really anything can happen in an energy healing, right? For me, in that specific cranial sacral healing about more than a month ago, you know, I actually astral traveled to almost another planet. Okay, now stay with me here. I know this is getting really weird. And I swear I wasn't on drugs. I've never done a drug in my entire life, actually. And I barely even drink alcohol. So promised I was not on drugs. It was more just like, I think astral travel, like I kind of just randomly astral traveled to this planet. And I promise this has a point. So, you know, I was in the healing and I was in this meditative state, you know, traveling to this planet. The way this specific solar system was set up was that there was like just this massive almost block of ice, it was almost as if like about maybe I would say 7 or 9, somewhere around there, there was like really, really little, like almost little planets or dwarf planets kind of rotating around this like massive block of ice that was like 1,000 times bigger than these like little dwarf planets, right? And because this massive block of ice was so big, it actually casts a completely dark shadow over these like, you know, little dwarf planets, right, that are rotating around it. So there's absolutely no light that was reaching these dwarf planets, and there could absolutely be no life, right, on these dwarf planets because they had no light. This was something that was similar to the way our planet works, right? Like the reason we have life and we have plants and that we're alive, it's partially because we have the light of the sun to keep us warm, right? So there was something about this solar system that was kind of similar, like life could not exist without light. And, you know, the way we would think about it, well, of course, life can exist in the solar system. If they have this huge ass shadow on all these little dwarf planets, there really could be nothing, right? Okay. Well, I ended up on one of these little dwarf planets, and they had like the most amazing greenery. They had like colors that were more intense than we have on Earth, and they had like these like really wild looking flowers, and their grass that was growing, it was like it was so interesting. It's hard for me to explain or find words to kind of describe to you what I was seeing, but it was just like the most like luscious, like psychedelic looking, like greenery that I could really think of. And, you know, I was walking on this little dwarf planet and I was thinking, like, how are they able to grow this much? Because they're in the cast of this huge shadow, right, from that big block of ice. And it occurred to me, I'm standing on the planet, and it occurred to me that the reason they were able to like grow life is because this was sort of a planet where they were really able to like master manifestation in a way. Like they were able to sort of shapeshift and sort of transmute energy in ways that we cannot do on Earth. And they were almost able to like shapeshift or transmute the darkness cast from this huge shadow into light and growth and greenery. Okay. And I was standing there and I felt really alone. I felt like maybe this wasn't a planet that had like beings. But then something started to approach me. And at first it kind of looked like it was in the shape of a snake. But then it kind of transmuted itself into the shape of sort of almost like a large cat, like a leopard. And then it kind of started making fun of me and it kind of transmuted into my shape. And it was kind of showing me that on this planet, like that sort of space between the manifestation and matter, or the manifestation like that we would think of in human time, right? Our manifestations take a long time because there's matter involved and there's other humans involved and there's like really dense energy involved on Earth, right? But on this planet, it wasn't like that. Like the energy was so quick and so fast that beings and light and darkness can be transmuted in seconds. So it was really interesting to see. And at one point in sort of this astral travel thingy, I was I decided like to look for a book. And I kind of saw that like the other beings could kind of like just manifest this book that I was looking for, like out of thin air. And I was like trying to do it, but a lot of them were just laughing at me because like it was so clear that like I was not as evolved as them. And it was so clear that I don't know, it was almost like I felt like a caveman and they were like a million years ahead of me in the way that in the ways in which they had discovered how to transmute energy, right? Okay, so enough of that. That was like the weirdest thing I think I've ever shared on here. But I came back down to Earth essentially, and the healing kind of came to a close, and you know, said bye to my cranial sacral healer, who I think, by the way, I think she has like a really strong alien archetype, and I think that's why I'm able to have like some like very trippy experiences in her healings. But anyways, I had that thing, and then I kind of didn't think much about it, right? I was like, oh, it was cool. Like, I felt like I just visited somewhere in the solar system. I didn't know like the meaning behind like all of the stuff that I saw on this planet. And you know, whatever, the coronavirus situation went down, right? We're all in quarantine. We're all in, you know, our own personal versions of hell in some way, even if we are privileged. You know, we're going through so many things. And it occurred to me. And then the phrase for this new moon came to me. And that's why I've titled this sermon, The Divine Delay. Because, you know, we're being faced right now with really the hardest part about being human, and the hardest part about living on this planet, and the hardest part about being on Earth is timing. It's timing. It's the fact that because we have very dense matter on this planet, because we have things like money and time and resources, and we have like water, earth, air, and fire, and we have like all these really dense materials, I think it takes us a lot longer, it takes our manifestations a lot longer to come into fruition than we might like, right? And it occurred to me, like, even though we've gone through a massive birthing process, right, this month, like, you know, this birth has been painful. You know, this birth has been interesting. It's been like very hard and difficult to figure out how to now operate in this new world. But I think a lot of us too are kind of wondering, like, what's next? And, you know, we have just had this massive birthing moment, but that's kind of why sometimes birth can sometimes go unnoticed, because it happens in a blink of an eye. It's like, and if you think of the tarot, like the lead up of death happens in the Hanged Man, sort of like, you know, we know where we're heading when we're in the Hanged Man. We know we're heading towards death. We just don't know when. And the actual death card might come up kind of unexpectedly or more quickly than we thought. And then suddenly we're like catapulted into the Temperance card. And we're like, wait a second, like I have whiplash. Like I didn't even get to like, you know, that thing that I was fearing the whole time, and you know, that whole, the lead up of the death, quote unquote, that I was suspecting. Well, it fucking happened on like a Tuesday, and now what? Yeah. Like, I feel like that's almost what we're all experiencing. It's almost like we have had this death and rebirth, but now we're having whiplash. And we're having whiplash because we don't know how to fully integrate what has happened, you know? That's why I strongly, strongly feel that collectively, I think that the card, and this can be argued, right? But the way I see it, I think the card that really applies the most to what we're all going through right now is the Temperance card, because we're really trying to integrate that old life and the new life. We're trying to figure out how to operate. And I also think the existence, I said this in a Patreon video recently, but I think the existence of like grieving and the idea of like the five or six stages of grief really do happen in the Temperance card. And I think although death is quick and we can experience the death card very quickly, I don't think we get to, you know, put the foot on the gas pedal in the Temperance card at all, right? I think the Temperance card may be the longest major arcana card that we will experience. And what do I mean by that? I often say this to my students, but I think because the major arcana in the tarot, they have to do with our greater life experiences, it can take us a whole year to go through a major arcana card. It could take us months to go through a major arcana card. And I think some major arcana cards go a little bit faster than others, depending on our circumstance, depending on our situation, depending on the type of person we are, and depending on our challenges and strengths. You know, some of us go quicker or slower in certain cards than others. But I think as a collective, this Temperance moment that we are experiencing right now is slow. Again, going back to that divine delay that I kind of named the podcast after, like we are in the divine delay. Spirit is not punishing us. Okay, that's the one thing. That's the one thing they just wanted to say. They are just like, we're not punishing you. None of this is a punishment. But all of this is an experience, a very human experience. And kind of going back to my, like, trippy alien visit, my visit to another planet, I think that, you know, things like the coronavirus don't happen on that planet because they have mastered, like, how to transmute their energy very quickly. And they have mastered, like, how to manifest things in seconds, right? But we don't, that's not really the goal of even being human. It's not like we can, like, work towards achieving that, you know? Like, that's the experience of being on that planet. But we have the experience of being on our planet. And although there are just sucky things that happen on our planet, right? they really are. This is a horrible planet, you know, in a lot of ways. It really is. We experience these things like delay. We have these things called bodies, you know, that really cause us a lot of pain. We experience things like grief and sorrow and anger. We hate each other. We kill each other. We start wars. We make fun of each other. We do all these really horrible, sick things that are so unevolved in the grand scheme of the universe, right? But at the same time, I do kind of get the feeling, like, universally that Earth is one of the most, like, psychologically complex places that you could be. It's not the best place that you can be, but it's definitely the most one of the most psychologically complicated places that you can be in the universe, right? Because you know why? It's because we have this thing called love. That's why it's so complicated to be here. Because we have the capacity to love as much as we have the capacity to kill and hate and start wars and you know, be racist assholes to each other. We also have the capacity for love, and that complicates a lot of things. And that's what I was thinking, you know, when I was on that planet, that other planet. I don't know if those, like, shape-shifty people that I was seeing, I don't know if they really love like we do. Like, I don't know if they have, like, as deep of an experience as we do. I think they find pleasure in, I think their greatest pleasure on that planet is really just the experience of nature. But I don't think they experience things like depression or anxiety or even love or happiness. I think they're kind of a little bit in this sort of very generalized experience of, like, feeling elated or feeling amazed by nature. And that's, like, beautiful, but then there's not really anything deeper to their experience. And I do feel like that's why our souls choose to come to Earth. It's for this experience of learning. And it's funny that in the beginning of this, I was kind of saying how unevolved Earth is, right, in the grand scheme of the universe. But perhaps that's why souls choose to come here, right? Perhaps we choose to come here because although there's a lot of, like, stuff going on here, it's where we might learn our lessons. It's where we might have a deeper experience for our soul that we've never managed to have before, right? That's why. Why do we experience delays? Why do we experience impatience? Why do we want something so deeply and it gets fucking ruined by the coronavirus? Why? Well, you know, it's because Earth, in more of like a Uranian kind of explanation, it's because Earth has matter. It's because we have to deal with these things called bodies. And isn't that such a Taurus thing, right? And that kind of brings me to the theme of Taurus, to sort of, you know, bring me down a notch. Feel like I'm not even in my body anymore. Let's ground a second. You know, that's what Taurus season's about, grounding. I was reading this thing, actually in a book about Sufism. But in this book about Sufism, they quoted something from the Bible, the words of St. Paul. And I thought that this really applied to the archetype of Taurus. And St. Paul, he said, "The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another." Okay, let me read that again. "The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another." Okay. So that's why it's hard to be a human, because we have two or maybe even three parts of us. We have our minds, we have our bodies, and we have our spirits, right? And, you know, there are often times, I think we are the happiest when we can get all three of these in alignment with each other. And I think we are in the most suffering when these three things are completely in different places, okay? And that's kind of the message I feel called to deliver on this Taurus new moon. You know, we are experiencing this great divine delay. You know, we're experiencing this great, it's almost like the great red light or the great yellow light of spirit. You know, spirit has put the yellow light on our plans, has put the yellow light on our manifestations, has forced us into a great period of unknowing, not knowing, which will require patience. So much, we're gonna have to be freaking Sister Patience. Like, that's your new name, you know? like that idea, like, you think you've been patient, you know, in your life? Well, get ready, because you're about to, and if you're not patient, you're about to learn it, you know? And if you don't learn it, you're gonna make yourself suffer a lot more than maybe just embracing what it is like to be patient. But what do we do when we're just here, we're being delayed? What do we do? Okay, what do we do in that space? Do we be productive? Do we, you know, start our business? Do we try to, like, do personal development? Perhaps. I don't think that's wrong. I also don't think you're wrong if you're not doing that stuff, right? I think it's perfectly okay to not be being productive. But it's so funny. I was in my tarot class thingy. We've been doing it over Zoom. This isn't my tarot class. It's like a tarot class that I go to in Chicago. And this one of my like classmates, she was like, "Why is everybody trying to tell me not to be productive? Like, what if I like being productive?" Like, what if I'm productive because I get something out of it? What if it's not actually society telling me? Like, what if I'm personally fulfilled by productivity? And I was like, yeah. Because there is a part of me that feels that way. Like, you know, like, I'm personally fulfilled. So if you're personally fulfilled by productivity, I say hats off to you. Like, go ahead. You know, but if right now it doesn't feel right, it doesn't feel right. My point being, Taurus, oh man, is there a better sign to teach us patience than Taurus? You know, is there a better sign to teach us about what to do when we've been delayed than Taurus? I really don't think there is. I think Taurus is our greatest, greatest teacher when it comes to the delay and patience. Here's why. Going back to that St. Paul quote, you know, the battle of the flesh and the spirit. You know, astrologically speaking, I think Taurus is, and the Taurus archetype does battle these things. You know, Tauruses tend to be a lot better at connecting with their body than the average person. And that can have a shadow side, right? Because the shadow side of Taurus is maybe like overindulgence or gluttony, or maybe like a little bit of laziness, you know, because they're almost like they're almost too much energy in the body, not enough energy in the mental or spiritual space, right? But that's just the shadow side. That's not every Taurus. That's more like the Taurus archetype's shadow, if you will. But when we're really in the highest expression of Taurus, you know, contrary to what St. Paul said, when we're in the highest expression of Taurus, the flesh and the body and the spirit aren't fighting. You know, the body and the spirit are complementing each other. And in my eyes, when we are being delayed, the best thing to do is figure out where is my body and mind and spirit out of harmony, and how can I get them in harmony so I can reduce my suffering, okay? And a really easy way to check in with this is really if you have a deck of cards or a bowl of crystals even. You can use crystals to divinate. You can pull three cards or pull three crystals to kind of represent where is my mind, where is my body, and where is my spirit right now. And maybe a fourth card could be, and how do I better harmonize them together? Okay. You know, there's no better thing to do in moments of pause or moments of needing to have patience than to balance, than to, you know, maintain some kind of harmony, to get in touch with our body. And I'm feeling intuitively like, you know, most of us who are here listening, maybe we are very in touch with that mental or spiritual side of us, but maybe it very well is the body part of it that kind of feels a little bit out of alignment or out of harmony with us. And there are many things that we can do to, you know, check in with the body more. And I'm not going to fucking list off all the shit. Like, you guys know, like yoga, eating nutrient-rich meals, bare feet in the grass. You guys know what I mean by that. Like, but, you know, I guess you right now are being called to get in touch with how to better balance everything. And maybe you feel like you've got the body part down. Maybe you feel very in harmony with your body, and it's more of your spiritual self or your mental body that feels out of alignment or out of harmony with the other parts of you. We're all very complicated, right? And it's not to say that it needs to be our ultimate goal to be in harmony. And once we get in harmony, we will never have issues again, right? I think it's always like kind of a give and take, where we're like every single day we sort of need to take stock of where we are and make adjustments from there. And here's the thing that was coming to me too. Speaking of making adjustments, our coping mechanisms probably need to evolve right now in some way. You may have noticed that, you know, something that, like, let's say pre-coronavirus, maybe something was working really well for you, okay? Something was working awesome for you when it came to balancing your mental health or keeping your mood up or whatever. And maybe something now, maybe that's not working anymore. Maybe it's not as effective as it was. You know, we sometimes build a tolerance to certain practices. I think like if you do something like pulling tarot cards every day or whatever, you know, that you could do that every day of your life and get something out of it, you know. But I think there's other things too that we might build a tolerance for, like maybe journaling right now isn't working for you, or maybe even pulling tarot cards every morning is giving you anxiety and it's not working for you right now. Maybe there's a different coping mechanism. Maybe it needs to be reading, or maybe it needs to be crocheting, or maybe it needs to be taking walks, or whatever it may be. There's something about reassessing your coping mechanisms right now and making sure that they are serving you, and making sure that they are evolving with this new path that we are all going on, right? And the other thing I was kind of being called to bring up was this idea of regression. Now, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a psychologist, okay? But this word was coming to me from spirit. So take what I'm about to say from like a spiritual perspective. But I'm going to read you the definition of regression. So regression, according to psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud, is a defense mechanism leading to the temporary or long-term revision of the ego to an earlier stage of development, rather than handling unacceptable impulses in a more adaptive way. The defense mechanism of regression in psychoanalytic theory occurs when an individual's personality reverts to an earlier stage of development, adopting a more childish mannerisms. Okay. So who's experienced something like that, you know, in the past month, right? Maybe it was serious. Maybe you really did, quite frankly, like experience literal psychological regression where you did feel, you regressed back into an old mental pattern. And if you did, there's absolutely no shame in that, right? Like the definition said, it's just a coping mechanism. It's our mind's way of trying to figure out how to cope with a lot, right? So there's no shame. And I think for others, for some of us, it was more serious. But for others, it might have just been, I've had so much anger come up, and I felt pre-coronavirus like I was getting at least a little bit closer to like forgiving like my parents. Like I was getting a little bit closer to like being able to be one of those people who are like, my parents did the best they could and they only knew what they knew. And then like, coronavirus hit and I like am like, what the heck? Like, were there not like parenting books in 1995? Like, all of this stuff. Like you're kind of, your old demons are coming up and visiting, right? Those anger and that sadness and that kind of old way of being, that old you is kind of coming to visit. I think that's part of the temperance card too, because we can't forget, at least the way I see it, is that in the temperance card, the angel, they are holding one cup of the old self and one cup of the new self, and they are pouring the cups together, right? So the old self is still in the temperance card, and the new self is in the temperance card. So there might have been, a situation, whether it was extremely serious or it was just sort of some old thoughts coming up, there might have been a sort of regression-esque situation that has come up in the next month, and it may continue to come up throughout May and June. This is when I come to the actual astrology of the new moon. That I also think is asking us to update our coping mechanisms, update our sort of self-care manuals, update our self-care practices, update our rituals. I think we really do need to upgrade. It's an upgrade or update. That's what I meant. And it's not to say like we're doing this in like a panicked way or in a shameful way. But we're almost doing this as sort of not a precautionary measure, but we're doing this because we're acknowledging, even if I don't feel wildly different right now, maybe I do need to acknowledge that, the world is changing and I'm being called to change. And what are some of the measures I can take to support my change? Even if our change is not in front of us right now, even if we can't see completely the full story right now, and by the way, none of us can. I don't care how psychic you are. None of us can see the whole story right now. I think there's part of us that we're being called to sort of, it's almost like we need to act as though we are the new self, as a part of becoming the new self. Please don't take that as me trying to spiritually bypass the grief and the anger and the sadness that we're feeling, because that needs a space on the table too. That needs even a bigger space on the table than the new self. But I also do think the new self does need a little space here and there. we do need to, like, say hi to that person. We do need to imagine, you know, what are they like? What are they doing? Again, what are their coping mechanisms? And I really do feel like this is what the actual astrology is telling us, too, of this new moon. So I'm actually going to take a quick break, and I will come back, and we're going to get a little bit more technological when it comes to the astrology. So be right back, and okay, bye. All right, guys, I'm back. Sorry, I had to go do some tax things. I had to talk to my accountant, which I was just, I just got back to my desk, and I was like 1 minute I'm talking about aliens, and the next minute I have to go do some taxes. So that's just my life. All right, the logistics. Let's just get right into it. New moon, April 22nd, around 10 p.m., the moon and the sun will conjunct in 3 degrees Taurus. Now, what's interesting about this new moon is that the conjunction between the sun and the moon are also happening very, very close to Uranus, which is in 6 degrees Taurus. So we could say both the sun and the moon are approaching an exact conjunction with Uranus as well. And what's even more interesting about this is all of these people, all of these three guys, are squaring Saturn. What does that mean in English? Well, let's unpack this one by one, right? That's how we really get to know astrology, right? We don't try to take it all in at once. We just have to unpack. And it's kind of like, it's like the metaphor that's coming to mind is when you're like doing your makeup and you're like adding the layers. And if you add too many layers all at once, you'll look really cakey. But if you kind of layer it on and in some light ways, you'll look natural in the end. That's kind of how astrology works too. Okay. So that first part of that, the sun and the moon conjunct in Taurus, you know, going back to, you know, what does a new moon really mean? Most new moons have really great energy for planting new seeds, right? And I think I think actually this is a good time for manifestation. It's a good time for planting seeds. Although, note the title that we just talked about. We talked all about how I titled this new moon The Divine Delay. So whatever you plant right now, just keep in mind that it's probably a longer term manifestation. It's probably not going to come into fruition as quickly as you would like it to. There's something about this new moon that's going to test our patience. But just because it's going to take a long time doesn't mean we can't begin the process now, right? And even if, you know, this might be a really good moon for not only like the manifestations that you're trying to put into fruition right now that you want to start, you know, getting them cooking, but it actually might also be like a time to consider, you know, where do you want to be in 5 years, 10 years, like really long down the line, you know? And it's not to say we don't have to have all these answers, and you don't have to consider that if you don't want to, if that feels like too much pressure. I totally understand. It kind of feels like too much pressure even for me as I'm saying it, because we don't actually know where spirit is taking us anyways. But my point being, we can kind of like point our arrow, but in a very Taurian way. We sort of, we take our time, but we hurry right along. And we have in mind that the things that we are planting right now, just because they're not going to be like this fast growing thing, doesn't mean we shouldn't plant them, right? And there's something, like going with this sort of planting the seed metaphor. Does anybody know, when you put fertilizer in the earth and it grows your grass or grows your plants at a faster rate? Does anybody know, does that actually create, does that put toxins into the earth? I'm sure it does. Fertilizer's got to be filled with chemicals, right? So there actually is something unnatural about literal fertilizer, but also there's something unnatural about like trying to like rush something's growth, right? So just keep that in mind. Whatever seed you're planting right now, it has to be with the utmost gentility. It's with the utmost grace and just with the utmost trust that Spirit is going to hear you. Spirit's going to hear your manifestation. Spirit's going to, you know, pencil in your update. They've got it. But there's a lot of other stuff that needs to click into place too. I can't tell you how many readings I've had in the past month that everybody seems to be like in this place of being like, I was going to do this, but then it stopped because of the coronavirus. And now I don't know how to proceed. And one time when I first started reading, one of the first, even before I went professional, this was still in Malaysia, I read for someone in Malaysia, and it was just kind of like it was a friend, and I remember it was like the first time I ever really got like a true intuitive hit. And I remember the card I pulled for him. I pulled the seven of Pentacles. And he was really, really worried about this grad school situation, right? He was worried about, you know, which grad school to pick and all this stuff. I pulled him the seven of Pentacles. And it was just like the first intuitive hit I ever got. I was like, Spirit's meeting you halfway. You've already gone, you know, as much, you've already walked as much of the journey as you possibly can. But sometimes there also gets a point where we are halted or stopped on our path. And it's not necessarily because we have done anything wrong. It may not even be because we are on the wrong path. We could very well be exactly where we need to be, which by the way, you are exactly where you need to be right now, you know. And just because you're halted or stopped or you have the yellow light or you are being divinely delayed, right? And know that Spirit is going to meet you halfway when the timing is right. And again, we're on Earth. We have bodies. We have matter. This makes our manifestations take longer. But there are some, you know, benefits to that. Even me and my therapist were talking about this. Like, if we have like a thought, like a really chaotic or catastrophic thought, right? And we think it and, you know, maybe it never happens, right? That's because that's not necessarily a manifestation or sort of our matter or our earthly matter will delay those things from happening, especially if they were fleeting. That's why our every thought does not actually come to fruition. But in that same way, I think if we do actually want something to come to fruition, we do have to be sort of dutiful with our actions towards that thing. We need to show the universe that we are continuing to, like, place that order. If we place an order with Spirit and then we change it every 2 minutes, that's going to even delay us further, right? So it is a good time to sort of listen and really kind of place the order in a very mindful way and in a way that takes time off the table. This manifestation also may even very well take location and people off the table too. Taurus really asks us, like, not to necessarily focus on the material stuff, even though they are an earth sign. They ask us to focus on the feeling, right? And that's some of the best manifestation advice that I've ever gotten, is just focus on the feeling, focus on the desire. Don't focus so much on the actual thing. It's not bad to focus on the thing, but it's more powerful. The spell, if you will, is more powerful if we can sort of cultivate the feeling, right? And, you know, there are three earth signs, and each earth sign represents a part of the earth. So Taurus represents the earth's core, Capricorn represents the mantle, and Virgo represents the crust. So remember, Taurus representing the earth's core also links back to our core, right? The core of our being. And if you think about it, that's kind of like where all manifestations have to start. They have to start in the core of the being, and then they kind of work their way up through the crust, and then they'll show up or they'll work their way up through the mantle, and then they show up on the Earth's crust, or aka in the earthly world. Okay, so with this new moon in Taurus happening so close to Uranus, I know, you know, Uranus is a planet that wants freedom. It's a planet that is a little bit of a rebel, you know, with or without a cause. Uranus wants to go their own way. This kind of, I shouldn't say scare, but it kind of does scare me a little bit. This whole week's astrology makes me a little bit nervous just because of this approaching conjunction to Uranus. And here's why. I think a lot of us are getting antsy right now. A lot of us want this so badly to be over that we are willing to believe anybody who tells us it's okay and it's going to be over and you should just go outside right now, or Florida reopening their beaches, or whatever the protesters in Michigan, like, you know, saying that, you know, the government's taking away their fundamental rights by making them, you know, stay inside or whatever the heck. You know, so I do feel like this might be sort of a sign that the collective is getting more and more antsy to sort of be let free. But I hate to break it to you guys, but I mean, I'm sure you guys are all wise and have your own intuition. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who's kind of intuitively feeling like, it's not to say the entirety of 2020 we are going to be in this situation, but I do feel like we're kind of in this for the long haul. And, you know, having empathy for the person who wants to, you know, go to the beach or protest their liberty or whatever, because it's so hard to have empathy for those types of people, right? Like, there's so much judgment when I see that happening, at least on my part. But, you know, though, the people who are super, super antsy super thirsty for, like, the government to, like, let us free, quote unquote. Maybe they're trying to avoid something within themselves, right? Maybe they haven't been thinking deeply about the balance between their mind and body and spirit. Maybe they don't have access to that thought, you know? so I think there's going to be some interesting things happening with this new moon. Not to scare anybody, but I do feel like we will see more like rebellion going on, and you as an individual have a choice, like, you know, whether or not you participate in that or not. But I will say the one good thing about Uranus is that Uranus is also sort of the planet of the higher mind, sort of this collective mind that we all share. And if we can connect to that, that actually might be the missing piece in our manifestations right now. You know, whatever seed that you choose to plant on this new moon, make sure it's more than just about you and what you want. Make sure that, you know, whatever you are manifesting, make sure it benefits the collective in some way. Like, even if you're just manifesting something, like me, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm manifesting a home, right? I don't want to live where I'm living right now. I'm gonna do a little manifestation, a location / home manifestation. But it's with the intention that if I can cultivate or I can manifest a home where I feel safe and I feel at peace and I feel like I'm in a supportive environment and I feel free to be myself, that will actually help me step into my power even more. That will help me maybe see more clients. That will help me become a better teacher. That will help me become a better in service of spirit, you know? So it's not this manifestation, although maybe like the root of it is about me and my living situation, it does have like a much bigger picture in mind as to like, you know, what I'm able to accomplish in this current living situation and my next living situation I'm needing it to kind of be a better container for my growth, right? So that's just like a little example of how you can kind of turn your manifestation into something that helps the collective, you know, even if it's just like a little, you know, maybe you're manifesting some money, more money right now, or a higher paycheck or whatever. You know, maybe part of your intention is that with that extra money, you will be donating to your favorite charity, or you will be helping your friend or whatever, you know, you guys get me. So Uranus does ask us to have the collective in mind. And I do think there's something a little bit about Uranus that if we are completely acting from a selfish place, I do think Uranus tends to like knock us down a little bit in some way. So I do think that, you know, I think, I don't know, there's something about this new moon that's asking us to kind of consider the collective. Oh, and here's what I wanted to say. Okay, so one other thing about this, what the coronavirus is teaching us. Okay, so there's a lot of like, you know, how easily this virus can be spread between us, right? So now we sort of have a visual and physical representation of just how much our decisions impact others, right? So I could go to the store, you know, without gloves, without a mask. I could be, you know, I could be a asymptomatic carrier of the virus, but I'm just la-di-da-di-da going in the store. You know, I'm touching everything. You know, but me, I'm fine. My immune system's strong. You know, I don't need to wear a mask. And then let's say I actually do give it to an essential worker. And let's say, now they're in the hospital and now they have medical bills that they can't pay. And it was all because I touched something, then pass it on to them, right? So that kind of like thought process of like literally the things I could touch have an effect on someone else. Literally my breath, the air that I'm breathing could have an effect on someone else. That is actually true regardless of the coronavirus. We just don't see it as clearly as we do right now. Right now, we're awakening to our every move, our every breath, our everything we touch, everything we throw away, everything we buy, everything we order on Amazon affects someone else, okay? And this isn't to make us feel bad, you know, but it's to make us feel like the world is so interconnected. That's why this virus spread so fast, right? So we're really considering like our own place in this world and how I have the power to greatly affect one person, or I also have the power to negatively affect another person just with my choice. So if we're in that mindset with Uranus, we're going to be all good. Like if Uranus knows that we're on the collective side and we're trying to work together as a group, we're good. If you're trying to act like an independent asshole, and like you don't care about how your behaviors affect the collective, then that's when Uranus gets a little malefic, okay? That's all I'm going to say. And then, you know, one more thing with this square to Saturn, this new moon square to Saturn. You know, guys, we don't get people don't like Saturn, or including me, but actually I'm improving my relationship with Saturn at the moment. I've been doing Kelly's astrology, her Saturn mantra. I'm gonna put it in the show notes. It's so good. I've been doing it since every day since April 4th, and I really have been feeling the effects of it. You know, and I've been through this mantra, I feel like I've been able to get to know Saturn more. And it's really not Saturn's intention to like crush our dreams. It's not necessarily Saturn's intention to like cause us depression or despair or make us pull back or whatever. I actually think Saturn's one of the only reasons we ever get anything done, right? So I do see it. Kind of in a weird way, a blessing in disguise that Saturn is involved in this new moon, because I think it's sort of a testimony to, although, you know, this is conjunct with Uranus. There might be some unexpected things with this new moon, yada, yada, yada. I feel like almost like Saturn is sort of anchoring this new moon into reality. And Saturn is sort of asking us to evolve, as they often are. So this is a really exciting one, and I'll be interested to see what you guys are doing, what kind of rituals, or you know, even if you're not in the mood to do a ritual, that's totally valid too. But I've actually been doing more magic, more rituals lately, because I've had the time and I've had the energy. But again, maybe you're not in that place, and that's completely okay too. I felt the presence very strongly this week of Vesta. I thought I'd just share that with you guys. So I'm going to name Vesta the goddess of this Taurus new moon. And Vesta is an asteroid in our birth chart, but she is also a goddess. And she is the goddess of the home and the hearth. But not just, I think she would be a great energy to call in if you're having, you know, any trouble with like disharmony in the home. I think Vesta can help you with that. Or even just maybe you're doing a lot of spring cleaning. Maybe you're trying to rearrange your house and do some feng shui or whatever. Vesta would probably be really good helper with that. But Vesta is sort of the tender of the sacred flame as well. She's not all about housekeeping. So Vesta, this new moon, I'm calling her in to at least help me tend to my sacred flame, which, you know, tend to my passions, tend to my goals, but with a more nurturing and motherly and gentle sort of energy, you know. And Vesta also reminds us that our bodies are really our true home. So it doesn't matter where we are living. It doesn't matter what location we are living. You know, our bodies are really are the house of our souls. So, you know, if you're not doing spring cleaning on your literal house, maybe you are doing some spring cleaning in your mind, so you can live in a more harmonious environment, right? So I think Vesta is an awesome energy to call in this new moon. And I think that's about it, guys. To end, I wanted to do a little bibliomancy. This comes from the book called Anger by the Buddhist monk, I believe you pronounce it Hik Hat Han, but I will put this in the show notes. So this book is called Anger, Wisdom for Cooling the Flames. So I am going to just flip to a random page in this book. And the reason I picked this book is because I think anger is something that we are all really dealing with right now in some context. So I think that it's I'm hoping there to be kind of a good message here. Okay, I just put I feel like I just flipped to like a random story, and it's not it's maybe not going to make so much sense. maybe that page is more for me to read later. I'm going to try to flip to like a little bit more of a general page. Okay. Oh, all right. So on this page, it says patience is the mark of true love. Oh my God. What we were just talking about, patience. So it says anger is a living thing. It comes up and it needs time to go back down. Even if you have clear evidence to convince someone that his anger is entirely based on wrong perception, please don't interfere right away. Like craving, jealousy, and all afflictions, anger needs time to die down. This is the case even after the other people realize that he or she misunderstood the situation. When you turn off a fan, it continues to spin 1,000 times before stopping. anger is like that. Don't expect the other person to stop being angry right away. That is not realistic. You have to allow anger to die down slowly. Don't rush. Patience is the mark of true love. A father has to be patient in order to show his love for his son or daughter. A mother, a son, and a daughter also. If you want to love, you must learn to be patient. If you are not patient, you cannot help another person. You must also be patient with yourself. The practice of embracing your anger takes time. Be just 5 minutes of mindful breathing, mindful walking, and embracing your anger can be effective. If 5 minutes is not enough, take 10 minutes. And if 10 minutes is not enough, take 15 minutes. Give yourself as much time as you need. The practice of mindful breathing and mindful walking outdoors are wonderful ways to embrace your anger. Even the practice of jogging is very helpful. Just like when you cook potatoes, you need to keep the fire going for at least 15 or 20 minutes. You cannot eat raw potatoes. You have to cook your anger on the fire of mindfulness. It may take 10 or 20 minutes. It may take more. Ah, that was such a beautiful message for so many of us who are dealing with anger. And maybe this is really the first time in our lives we've really considered, wow, I'm pissed. What am I supposed to do with this? What am I supposed to do with this energy? So thank you so much for listening. And I will talk to you guys in May. I have some awesome interviews coming up. I won't tell you who they're with because I'll leave that to be a surprise. But one of the themes is magic and mental health with a lovely lady. And then I have another lovely lady coming to talk about tattooing, the intersection between healing and tattooing. And we're also going to talk a little bit about animal spirits as well. And then Artist's Way Part 4, that's going to come in May. And that's kind of the update on my end. So feel free to reach out to me on Instagram if you want to talk a little bit more about the episode or anger or the new moon or whatever it is. And I'll talk to you guys in May. Before you go, I just wanted to say thank you so much to my Patreon supporters. You are all supporting the creation of this podcast in a bigger way than you even realize. If you want to know more about my offerings on Patreon, including access to the Secret Horoscope Witch YouTube channel, the link is in the show notes. I am a professional astrologer, tarot reader, Reiki practitioner, and psychic intuitive. If you are interested in working with me one-on-one or getting a reading from me, you can visit my website, horoscopewitch.com, to learn more about my offerings. If you find this podcast to be helpful, I would greatly appreciate your rating or review on Apple Podcasts. Your reviews not only make my day, but also increase the chances of others finding this podcast too. And if you like this episode, feel free to share it with a friend.